The big question in business, how do you measure unemployment in the new economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. So many Americans have been out of work for so long that the government is changing the way it measures long-term unemployment. John Dinsdale has more from Washington.
Until now, the Bureau of Labor Statistics hasn't counted anyone as being unemployed for longer than 2 years. Tom Nardone is an assistant commissioner of the Bureau.
I think it goes back to the days when it actually was a paper form that was filled out and only two digits were allowed.
So anyone out of work for more than 100 weeks was recorded as 99 weeks. But Nardone says that's changing.
When we did look back on the data, we found that we never had this proportion, this 11% who were hitting that top coat. So it wasn't really, you know, an issue.
Beginning with January's jobless report, the average period of unemployment in America is likely to jump.
The reason we're making the change is we suspect that the average duration of unemployment has been understated.
Now, the jobless survey will record people out of work for up to 5 years. Nardone says the more accurate statistics will better measure the true depth of the economic downturn. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Research from the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago found that the ever-popular rewards credit cards, the cards that give you cash back or airline miles, cause people to spend more and go into more debt. The study found that a 1% cash back reward would usually kick the user $25 a month, but would increase their spending by nearly $70 and boost their credit card debt by $115 a month. Ron Shevlin is a banking products analyst with the Aite Group. He joins us live. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
So the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago finds reward cards can be hazardous to a consumer's finances. But from what I understand, you're a little skeptical of that.
I have a couple issues with the way the study was conducted. First of all, I think we have to remember that it was conducted between the 2000 and 2002 time period, which was a period of increasing unemployment. Unemployment increased from about 4% in 2000 to 6% in 2002. And so in tough economic times, people are going to spend more regardless of the type of card they have. The other issue is that the study was conducted among a single card issuer's base of cardholders, and different card issuers target different types of consumers. And so it's possible that the underlying cardholders that are reflected in this study are not really representative of cardholders in general.
It was also before the credit crunch.
And before the credit crunch, and also before the proliferation of a lot more different types of reward cards. So I think there's some issues with the timing of the study.
Now, you've done your own research on rewards cards and reward cards users. What have you found?
Pretty much the opposite of what the Fed has found. In the research, in the consumer research that I've conducted over the past couple of years, we tend to find that consumers who are reward card holders, first of all, tend to have higher income and higher levels of affluence, and therefore are actually less likely to be what we'd call revolvers, people who revolve their credit card balance and run up interest payments.
Right.
And so they tend to be people who don't care about the rates or the fees on the card because they're not going to generate interest payments. They're going to pay that card off every month and get rewards cards so that they can max out on their rewards.
And just really quickly, what kind of rewards cards are we getting now that we are starting to get credit card offers again, and are they a good deal?
Well, we're starting to see, I think, a greater proliferation of the types of reward cards. I think in general, if you kind of look back over the past couple of years, the trend has gone from travel-focused reward cards to cash back, and now to things like more merchandise, where you're getting better deals and discounts on specific types of merchandise. And
right.
This is very helpful, especially for the card issuers, because they're helping to drive more sales to the merchants and retailers who are helping to pick up some of the cost of the reward cards. And so what this means from the consumer perspective is that there's better choice among cards. You don't have to be limited to just travel. And second of all, if you're a type of consumer who is going to use the credit card more as a payment card than as a credit card, rewards cards can be a great deal for you.
Ron Shevlin, senior analyst with the Aite Group. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
It is a mixed Tuesday for the markets. The Shanghai Composite Index stepped up 0.2%, but London's FTSE is off 0.3%. U.S. markets were split yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 11,575. And if you thought the BP oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico would deter deepwater drilling, think again. A new survey of oil companies shows spending on new wells and drilling rigs will hit almost $500 billion next year, an 11% increase over 2010.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
This week marks the final application deadline for a lot of colleges, and a lot of parents are hiring pros to help their kids with the process. Colorado Public Radio's Zachary Barr reports.
Before hiring her, parents sometimes ask educational consultant Diane Schaefer if she can get their kid into Princeton.
We do not guarantee that students can get in places. And if a consultant is telling someone that they can do that, then that's an unethical consultant.
For a fee, Schaefer guides high school seniors through the entire college application process, from figuring out where to apply to making sure applications are sent in on time. Educational consultants like Schaefer are in high demand. When she joined a trade group of fellow consultants about 10 years ago,
there were just a handful of people, and for our membership now to swell to close to 600 is a statement about the growth of this industry.
So how much does one of these college gurus cost?
Well, I charge $4,200, and it's a two-year process.
It's impossible to know, really, whether it's worth it or not.
Nevertheless, Denver physician Bill Mangione hired Diane Schaefer. Mangione says he wanted to give his daughter Rachel the best chance to get into her top schools. And he wanted to keep the peace at home.
It takes the potential conflicts of deadlines out of the household and moves it somewhere else, namely between Rachel and Diane.
Rachel's grateful for her parents' decision.
I would rather not fight with my parents over college applications, and I'm more likely to listen to an expert like Diane than my mom.
Rachel's applying to 11 schools. She says thanks to Diane's help, all of her applications are finished and ready to send out on time. In Denver, I'm Zachary Barr for Marketplace.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Can a global business survive today without securities, derivatives, or even loans?
We don't owe nothing. We don't borrow. We haven't for many, many years.
You don't borrow money for this.
I don't borrow money.
I'm Bob Moon, getting by the old-fashioned way, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.